part three of our study, the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we've been just doing our verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to ask you guys, you look real comfortable, but if you want to stand this morning as we're going to just stand for the reading of the Word. This morning, in part one, we got through one verse. Part two, we got through two verses. So part three, we're going to go through three. I mean, we're picking up the speed. So I'm going to read down to verse 7 this morning. Now concerning, verse 1, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were once Gentiles carried to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Father, we, Lord, just humble ourselves before you this morning and with open Bibles, open hearts, standing in your presence today, Father, we simply ask that you would help us to understand your word. Lord, we don't want to just hear a nice talk. We don't want to hear, Lord, just some little thing we can walk away with. But God, we want to leave knowing your word. We want that word to be carried in our hearts for the rest of our life. We want to, Lord, come and understand what the scripture says for our lives. Concerning the work of your Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you give us clarity? And would you anoint us, Father, that we might go out and be your witnesses? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Jesus, when he left this earth, literally, like when he was ascending into heaven, he told his disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is the great commission. This is the great declaration and the promise that Jesus gives, that I'm not going to send you out alone. I'm not going to send you out to do it by yourself, but I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to fill you, that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to then be my witnesses. And this is really what the whole of the New Testament is about you and I being witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And so this study has become very important for us. We saw in verse 1 that there's a great ignorance, and Paul says, don't be ignorant concerning spiritual things. So we saw the word gifts isn't really in the Greek. The word literally means spirituals. We'll look at the word gifts this morning. It will come into verse 4. But Paul's just saying, listen, there's a lot of ignorance. People are not understanding. People are without understanding. It's the word ignorance concerning that. And then we saw in verses 2 and 3 that we're not to carry into our experience with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord in the church, maybe from some traditions or ideas or spiritual experiences we had before we were Christians. And we can't carry that over. And how important it is to put away the former life and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come now to verses 4 through 6. That's our text this morning. And Paul simply says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And I want to just start by way of introduction this morning with a phrase, unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. Because that's indeed what Paul is talking about in these chapters. He's talking about unity. This whole passage is about the body of Christ being united, and it's been an issue, of course, in the church. And Paul here is speaking about, and he uses words like diversity in verse 4, I read from the New King James. In verse 5, he uses the word difference. And in verse 6, again, he comes back to the word diversity. There's this diverse work of the God. There's this different work of God, but it's unified by the work of God. The work of the Holy Spirit always brings about unity. You and I can't have unity without understanding God's triunity. What do I mean by that? Well, we talked last week about the Trinity a little bit and looked at the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. We saw how very practical the three persons of the Godhead are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in our relationship with them. It's not just a theology. Of course, it's a very important theology. It's who God is. It's what we would talk about, the attributes of God, that God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But without one of the members of the Trinity, without one of the persons, as we would call them, we can't have fellowship with God. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Think about your prayer life. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers your prayer life, but you can't pray without Jesus' blood. Our access to the Father is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Of course, that's a very well-known verse in John 14:6. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is, of course, in the Bible, the great mediator, the one that stands between you and me and brings a road to the Father. And then we saw how important the fatherhood of God is. Oftentimes, people will focus on one person of the Godhead. A lot of times, Jesus. So in some groups, the Holy Spirit. But the goal of the Holy Spirit, we saw last week, John chapter 16 tells us in verses 13 through 15 that the goal of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. Jesus tells us all through the Gospel of John in several places that the goal of Jesus is to glorify the Father. And that there's nothing that Jesus says or does that isn't said or done based on what the Father has given to him. And so we see this beautiful working of the Trinity. In fact, thinking about the Gospel of John, so much about that is in the Gospel of John. When Jesus prays what is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus, I like to call it the Lord's Prayer because it's literally the Lord's Prayer, not the traditional Lord's Prayer. The traditional Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer. Jesus taught us to pray in this manner. But the Lord's Prayer in John 17 is Jesus praying to the Father about everything God had called him to do. And in that prayer, Jesus then prays in John 17. I don't have it on the overhead, but just jot it down in your notes. John 17, verses 20 through 23. John 17, verses 20 through 23. Jesus prays for our unity. But when he prays for our unity, he refers to the Trinity. Definitely focusing in that passage on the relationship between the Father and the Son. And he prays this. He prays that they would be united. They'd be one as we are one, Father. I and you, you and me, us and them. That there would be just this unity within the body. Now, the context of the prayer is Jesus is saying that there's going to be more than the 12 apostles that are going to be around. He says there many are going to come and believe, and obviously Jesus is speaking about the Gentile world. Many will believe in you, Father, through their words as they take the gospel out. Again, it comes back to the purpose of the church, that we're to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and truly be in our lives a witness of Jesus Christ to the world. But we can't do that without the work of the Holy Spirit. But one of the identifications that we are the body of Christ is that we're connected to the head, which is Jesus Christ. Now that's the analogy Paul's going to use here in chapter 12. And so this whole idea of unity is very strong. This concept that we're united together, but that uniting is we're united in the same, think about this, the same way that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united, you and I are to be united. And here in kind of a mysterious way, a spiritual way, I should say, that we are united with them because they are in us. And that, of course, is the person and work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he is in us, uniting us to the Father. But as he does, he's uniting us to each other. That's what Jesus is praying there in John chapter 17. It's very powerful. Well, in the passage that's before us, again, we see the unity of the Trinity as we seek to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and we seek to practice those and minister to one another the gifts of the Spirit. In chapter 12 here, in verses 4 through 6, and I showed you guys this slide last week, we see here, and I just kind of broke it down, the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Of course, you could look at the text and read it in its full context there. And of course, that's the theme. The theme is that there are, verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ways we use those gifts in our ministries, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so, again, this idea of us exercising the gifts of the Spirit, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, ministering to one another through the gifts of the Spirit, and we are finding that as we do that, there's unity. So there's this unity that is brought about by the Holy Spirit's gifting us, using us, and that we're ministering to one another. Paul says it in verse 7 there. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. This is the reason that you and I are ministering the gifts of the Spirit. It's not for me. The gifts aren't for me. It's for the building up, and Paul will go on later in this chapter and encourage you guys to read it, meditate on it, study through it. The building up of the body of Christ through the work of the gifts that he's given to us. And so the gifts aren't for me. The gifts are my gifts that God's given me are for you. Your gifts that God's given you are for me, for us. We're to minister to one another. So that just changes the whole concept of what is modern day Christianity, which is I come and I sit and someone ministers to me. Well, yeah, there's a portion of our gathering, like right now, where someone is using their gift of teaching and ministering to you the Word of God, but it's for the purpose of equipping you, right, to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ, equipping you to go out and now use those gifts to minister to others and within the body itself to minister to one another. The word minister just means serve, to build one another up. Now, this same concept is found in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, Paul's talking about the body. And it's another place he talks about certain offices that have gifts in the body. And different gifted men that are given to the church to build up and equip so that each member does its part. That's what he says in verse 16. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I want to read it to you. Listen to this. There's some parallels here, and I want you to look for the Trinity as we do this and unity of the body. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the call by which you've been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice that phrase, endeavoring. The word endeavoring is a word that you could translate it to work your hardest at. It literally means to sweat. It's the idea of working hard. We need to work hard at the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The only way we'll have unity is we're united with the heart of the Father. And when we're all united with the heart of our Father, we're going to be united with each other. But then look at what he says in verse 4. There is one body, note this, one Spirit. Just as we are all called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, there it is. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's very similar to what we're reading here. In fact, look at the end of verse 6 where he says, but the same God who works all in all. It's very similar to that last phrase there in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 4. But you see here the Trinity at work in the unity and the oneness of the body of Christ. So we find this idea of unity, but there's diversity. So we talk a lot about unity, right? We think we all have to be united. And what does that look like? And sometimes people have thought, well, that means we all have to be the same. We all have to act the same. We all have to talk the same. And what Paul here is showing is there's unity in Christ. There's unity in the Godhead. We're united in God. Why are we together? Why are we together today? Well, why are you here? Why are you sitting next to, maybe you're sitting next to your spouse or something, but, you know, why are you sitting on the same row or in the same area with people that you would have never sat with unless Jesus Christ had changed your life? Like, what got us here? Well, it was that unity we have is the Lord. The reason that you're here, the only reason I'm here right now is the Lord. I mean, the thought of me being behind a pulpit and teaching the Bible is only, it's a miracle, first of all. And it's only the Lord. And the only reason that I'm here is because of the Lord. The only reason that you're here is because of the Lord. And we're united and we have fellowship, don't we? And we have things in common, don't we? And it's a blessing, and it's the Lord. It's the work of the Spirit. We believe the Word of God. I mean, we believe this is the inspired Word of God. Many of the people outside of this facility out here in the world, they don't believe that. They look at us like we're nuts. You're crazy. And we're like living our life based on it. We're going to take time on Sunday, on our day off, we're going to come, we're going to gather together, we're going to sing songs, we're going to worship the Lord, we're going to get engaged, and we're going to literally open this and go line by line, not just verse by verse, word by word, because it means so much, because we know every word is God-breathed. Amen. And there's unity there. And we're like, yeah, and you know, I get the good amens, and it's like, yes, And that's what brings us together. But know this, just because we're to be united in our unity, there should be a lot of diversity. Well, we're all different. We all come from different walks of life. And more importantly, directly in this context, we all have different gifts. We have a different role, a different place. And Paul will go on and later on in the chapter to talk about the human body and, you know, one's a foot, and, you know, one's a toe, and one's an ear, and one's an eye, and one's a nose, and they're all important. And he goes to, you know, out of his way. Then he says, there's parts that are hidden. There's parts of my physical body that are hidden. They're really important parts. You know, my internal organs are really important. He says, but, you know, you don't go showing them to people. You know, that would be gross. That's what he's saying. And some parts are hidden. Some parts we don't even see. But how valuable those parts are. And then what's important is that every part does its part. And that's why he says when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. How true that is. You know, if one of us, you know, if my kidney suffers, my whole body suffers. And of course, we could talk about, you know, like if I stub my toe, it affects my whole body. But even more, you know, you think about our internal organs. And how important it is, and how diverse our bodies are, and how diverse the body of Christ is. And what Paul's going to show us is that even that he's giving these gifts, that God's giving us gifts, even those of us that have the same gift, and we'll look at this in a minute, in our gift and the way we use our gift is very diverse from the next guy or next gal that has the exact same gift. And it's easy for us, and it's normal for us as humans to want to copy. We want to look at a gift and go, I think I got a gift like that, or I want a gift like that, so I'm just going to go do that. And it's not a natural gift. It's a spiritual gift, and it's very important for us to understand that. God has made us individuals, though he's made us one body. He's made us individuals. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here, look at what verse 11 says. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And this is just important for us to see that God is the one that gives the gift, that the same Spirit works all these things. He's just now listed gifts at this point, distributing to each one individually. You might say, I don't know that I have a gift. There's no question about it. If you're born again, you have a spiritual gift. You're like, you don't know me. You know, well, that might be true, but I'm telling you that you have a spiritual gift. You might need to discover it as we go through the text. You know, not this morning, but we're going to go through some areas here in chapter 12 that will help you, I think, discover your gift. In fact, I could probably figure out your gift very easily if you just serve the Lord and watch you for a few minutes, because our gifts just kind of become very well clear or well known as we serve. But, you know, everyone has a gift, everyone has a ministry, and everyone has an ability to do that ministry. Those are all from God. I think it's important for us to understand that spiritual gifts are spiritual. Because we get a little confused about natural gifts. All of us have natural gifts, strengths, weaknesses, things we're good at. And how do you know the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural? Well, did you have that gift before you were spiritual, before you got saved? Okay, that's called a natural gift. God will use our natural gifts. I like to say that God works naturally, supernaturally. He will use our natural gifts, and he will anoint those and use them in a spiritual way. But listen, if you could exercise a gift before you were saved, it's not a spiritual gift. And Paul's going to list here some real spiritual gifts, like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healings. Obviously, those are supernatural gifts. But there's other gifts in the Bible, like administrations and helps and different things, and we'll look at those in a minute. But, you know, it's important for us not to just think because I have a natural gift that that's my spiritual gift. Not necessarily. Someone might have a natural gift. They're very talented in music. They can play it like any instrument. They've got a great voice. They can sing. That doesn't mean they're anointed and gifted to be a worship leader. And now they might come to Christ, and God uses that natural gift with then giving them the spiritual gift of spiritual leadership. Because it's more than just singing. I mean, they could sing in church. And unfortunately, there are many churches that have people like that, that it's more of a performance. They're just singing. And they're playing, and it's beautiful, and it's entertaining, and that's what it is, entertaining. But it's not leading us into the presence of God and causing us to come into a place of worship. And so it's important for us to understand the difference. And within the gifts, there's to be great diversity. In fact, Romans chapter 12 says it this way, verses 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And look at, and individual members of one another. So we are one people. We're united. There's unity, but there's diversity in the individual gifts that we have and that we see. And so let's jump into the text here and take a look at this, because I think there's some really helpful things that we find here. Well, first of all, just by an overview of verses 4 through 6, obviously the theme here is it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God that's working. Okay, so there's just that unity within the Godhead that we've already talked about, but we see that. And then the word in verse 4 is, now there are diversity of gifts. And then in verse 5, there are differences of ministries. And in verse 6, there are diversities of activities. Again, I read from the New King James. Some of your Bibles, if you have a different translation, might translate these phrases, diversity and differences, differently. They are all three the same exact word. So the word in the New King James translated in verse 5, differences, is the same word of diversities in verses 4 and verse 6. This is the same word in the original document of the New Testament written in Greek. It's important for us to kind of understand that. Again, it can be translated several ways. Of course, diversity as it is here, it could be translated differences, of course, as it is here in verse 5, but like in the NIV, it's translated different kinds in all three of the verses. In the Today's English Version, it's translated different ways in all three of the verses. It has the idea of variations. That's the idea of the word. It's just different. It's variations. It's different kinds. And so here Paul is dealing with that. Now, I want to look with you at kind of three headings, three points, if you would, this morning from each of these verses. Verse 4, we want to look at different gifts. Let's just make it really simple and break this down this morning. Different gifts. Now, the word gift is important here. In verse 4, it says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is the first time actually the word gift is introduced. It's, again, not found in verse 1. That was added by the translators. That's not in the original there. There it says, now concerning spiritual, you could translate it or paraphrase it, spiritual things. I want to talk to you about spiritual stuff. That's what I want to talk to you about. Paul's been talking to them about how carnal they've been this whole time in the book. And now he's like, hey, let's move to the spiritual stuff. Now know this, back in chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 7, he says, you guys have not come short in any spiritual gift. Like, you guys have tons of spiritual gifts, but I don't think you understand what spiritual gifts really are. The word gift here is from the root word grace. So when you read the word gift, it has in it the idea of unmerited favor bestowed upon someone. Manifested, if you would, through God giving you a gift. So the first thing we note about the gift is a gift of grace. That's really important. That the gifts you and I possess, the things we have, the gifts we use, aren't because of us. I mean, the very word means grace. The very word means, of course, the idea of a gift. A gift is something you get and it's free, right? Can you imagine if it was your birthday or Christmas time and someone bought you a gift and you were really excited, and you know, maybe it was a car and they bought you a car and you get the keys and you're like pumped up, and then they handed you the bill. You know, well, here's the car, but here's the payments. That's not really a gift. Or, you know, got you a computer or whatever and then said, here, I'm going to give this to you and here's your payment plan. No, that's not a gift. You just no longer is that a gift. When you get a gift, it's free, and it's not depending on you. It's just an absolute free, we use the word grace, free, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor bestowed upon you. That's the grace of God. That's what a gift is. So don't be thinking, oh, I'm so gifted, I'm so cool, I'm so this, because it's God's grace. And as soon as we start thinking that, he's going to take away the spiritual anointing. He's going to take it away, and you're going to be stuck there all by yourself with your little dumb gift that's got no power. He'll do it. He'll do it. And so there's a spiritual aspect of waiting on God, of prayer, and of dependency as we go out and step out in faith and use the gifts God's given to us. But we must do it. Listen, the body of Christ can never be what God's called it to be. You and I will never grow the way we're to grow unless we're in a body and that we're experiencing the edification of other people's gifts and how other people are using those gifts. Well, when we think of gifts in the Bible, I see 17 gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Now, other people have different list, and you know, some say 18, some say something like 22. Some of the gifts mentioned in the Bible, I wouldn't call them gifts. I'd call them an office, like in Ephesians chapter 4. It lists five different gifts, if you would. I see actually four offices there: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Pastor and teacher being one. So I wouldn't make that a list of gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, list for us seven gifts. Seven gifts: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. These are some of what we call the more practical gifts. And some of these can be natural gifts that God then uses and anoints them. Of course, prophecy probably wouldn't be. Ministry just means serving. Teaching, obviously, we understand what that is. Giving, leading. I mean, these are certain qualities that certain people have that aren't saved. Like someone that runs a good business has got to be a good leader. But they are, in the New Testament, these are spiritual gifts. And then I find a list of 11 more found here in chapter 12 in verses 8 through 10. And then there's two more added in verse 28. But there's 11 different gifts. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 through 10 and verse 28. It says the gifts are the word of wisdom. Now these are more the spirituals. These are like supernatural. Word of knowledge. We'll go through all of these. We'll find examples in the Bible where they're used. They'll become very evident what they look like. Faith, healings, miracles, and prophecies repeated. Okay, that's why I have 17 in my list and not 18. Discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then towards the end of the chapter in verse 28, helps and administrations. And there's other gifts listed there, but they're, you know, they're duplicated in other places. So we see 17 different gifts. Listen, you have one of these gifts, if not more than one. Some people ask, can I have more than one gift? Yeah. I think God will give you any gift you need for your calling, for where you are. And that's why some people, you go, well, that guy's got every gift in the Bible, and I don't even got one. Oftentimes, it's because that person is doing something for the Lord, and so they need the gift. It's interesting, Paul does say in chapter 12 here, he says in verse 30, in verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. What is the best gift? Well, the best gift is probably the gift you need at that moment. What's the best gift to you? The word is greatest, actually. What's the greatest gift? Whatever gift I might need. That's the best gift for this situation, for this moment. He doesn't identify what the best gift is. But we all have gifts given to us by God. Some of them are dormant. We know they can go dormant. Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift of God that was in you, which was given to you through the laying on of my hands. So if that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, there's a gift can kind of be there, but not being active. And this is where we need the anointing of the Spirit of God. So Paul simply says here, now there are diversity or different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Well, let's go to the next verse, verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There's differences of ministries. And so point two, obviously, is different ministries. Different ministries, verse 5. Listen, you have been given a gift to serve others with it. We already saw that, right? That's the point of it. Verse 7 again, I'm going to read it again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then he starts listing the gifts in verse 8 and on. So you and I get gifts, not for ourselves. You and I get gifts to give, to edification, to build up other people. And it's important for us to understand that we want to use them. But here's the cool thing about this verse. Verse 5 again. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So you can have the same gift that I have, but the way we serve God, that's the word ministries, by the way. It's not an official title. It's not a minister, like in the sense of people would call me a minister. It's not a pastor. It's not a position. That's what we call an office in the church, that there is that. But when he uses this word, and this is common throughout the New Testament, it just means servant. It means to serve. We're all gifted and we're all servants. Okay, so this verse is for all of us. Okay? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. The same God that gifted you and gifted me, let's say with the same gift, we might use those gifts completely different. I mean, you can just take our pastors. They're all gifted teachers. And as you listen to each of them teach, they're very different in their gift of teaching. They use it differently. And, you know, we as human beings, we like one person. Oh, I like that style. That's what they did in Corinth. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of, you know, Peter. Others are, Jesus' messages were way better. You know, I'm of Christ. You know, but there's diversity in the very gifts. Let me break it down to you in a very practical way. Let's say you have the gift of helps. Okay, helps is an awesome gift, obviously. But it's not one, you know, that's up front all the time. It's the behind the scenes. But, you know, some people have the gift of helps that are really good with their working with their hands. And so, you know, there's a hole in the wall in the children's ministry. And they're like, well, hey, I'll fix it. And they get, you know, their tools out, and they know what they're doing. They just, and there's drywall mud on it, and there's texture, and it's painted, and you're like, hey, where was that hole? That's good. But someone else with the gift of helps couldn't do that. See, someone else has a gift of helps, but they're really good with computers. Okay? And where their area of ministry serving is helping out people like Tim and I. Like, huh? What? I don't know. What? Ah, why doesn't this work? Tim, don't throw it. It won't help. You can't hit it. You know? And my dad, he just got his cowboy boot. He just kicks it. That's not going to help. He's all words for me. Okay, whatever. You know, those are people that you don't ask them to help you fix your computer. You know, you call Brandon, right? Brandon, can you help me fix my? That's what Tim and I do, by the way. Or Ryan Siebert, but Brandon's in the office, so he's a little more, you know, accessible. But, you know, and then you've got someone that, you know, is got the gift of helps, and they're really good with, like, cooking. Okay, they're not good with their hands. Don't ask them to fix the hole. They're not good with computers, but they're good with cooking. Like, thank God we have some guys in our church good with cooking. We have an awesome barbecue ministry. Well, I'm still thinking of those tacos from last week. I mean, those were good. And that was Sean's first time at it, you know, leading the crew. And, man, he did a great job, and it was awesome, and we were blessed. But, you know, you don't want the guy that's really good with his hands that's not good at cooking serving in cooking. But it's all under the gift of helps. So it's important for us to not try to go, well, if I have the gift of helps, then I'd be just like that person. No, that person's got to give helps you do too, but you're unique. And God's wired you differently. And this is the beauty of being led by the Spirit. And we're not cookie cutter Christians. That we can be led and we can be guided, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and anoint us. But listen, the Holy Spirit is not going to empower you. When I say anoint, that's what I'm referring to. He's not going to empower you to serve Him and to do the work God's called you to do and fulfill your ministry if you're doing someone else's ministry. You're going to like, this doesn't work. I must not be called. You very possibly are called, but not walking in your calling. And so it's very important for us not to feel like this peer pressure of, I've got to be this certain way or that certain way but I simply need to use my gifts the way God has called me to use them. That's what he's saying. There are differences of ways to use those gifts in our service to the Lord, but remember, it's still the same Lord. And now, third point, verse 6, he says, and there are diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And this one I titled Different Abilities. I wanted to say different anointing, but I thought that might be a little confusing for some people of what that actually means. But that's really what we're talking about, the ability that God supplies. Just remember this, our ability to serve the Lord is from God, therefore he must get all the glory. He must get all the glory. Again, this isn't about, well, I'm gifted at you. You're gifted at nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. And any natural gift you have, God doesn't need it. God will use it if it's under his supernatural anointing. If he's enabling and filling you and empowering you to do the work that he's called you to do. Listen, the end of the day, we need to be dependent upon the Lord. That's what we need. We need to be humble, and we need to serve one another under that ability which God has given us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, I think is a perfect cross-reference for this. Peter says it this way, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Okay, so again, that word ministers are same word. It just means servant, to serve. So you've received a gift, serve one another. And do it as good stewards. Have good stewardship of the gifts God's given you. Lest they grow dormant. And he says, it's the grace of God, right? Verse 10. Okay, so verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What a heavy word for preachers. Those that are standing. I mean, speak as it's the very word of God. And then he says this, if anyone ministers, it's the same word, it's this servant. If anyone serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you and I go to exercise our gifts, we must do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified. And by the way, the glory belongs to him. I love that phrase. If you ever have a temptation to take a little of it, just remember you're stealing something that isn't yours. You don't have any glory. God is the one that gets the glory, because God's the one that's gifted you, and then God's the one that's going to empower you to use the gift. Where do I get that idea that God's the one that empowers you? From our verse. Look at verse 6. He says, and there are differences or diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The word activities and the word works here are very, very close in the Greek. In fact, if you're looking at the Strong's numbers, they're only one number off of each other. The words are very similar and mean very similar things. For instance, the word activity is only used twice in the entire New Testament. And it's used here, and it's used in verse 10 of this chapter. And in verse 10, it speaks about working miracles, where it says to another, the working of miracles. It speaks of a work. This is where we get our English words from, like energy, like energize, like enthusiastic. This is where we get those English words from, this Greek word translated here, activities. Of course, you see now why they translated activities. It speaks of something active, something energized, something empowered. And it's a beautiful, beautiful word. The word then works in verse 6 is a word that you could translate it to be at work, to be effective, to act, or activities. So again, even though it's translated works and the other word is translated activities, they're very similar. And so it's important for us to understand, because this, and now this is awesome, guys. This is the key right here, is that there are diversities, of course, we saw, of gifts. There are diversities of ministries. And now there are diversities of anointing, of enabling, of empowering for us to do the work that God has called us, because it is God who does the work. Let's read the verse. It says at the end of the verse, but it is the same God who works all in all. God's the one that's enabling. God's the one that's doing the work. This word is used the word activities here translated in verse 10, working of miracles. Well, this word works is translated in Matthew chapter 14 in verse 2 and Mark 6 verse 14. These are both a parallel passage in the Gospels about John the Baptist, and it says those powers are at work in him. Now, everything that's in the orange color is our Greek word, just so you guys can follow. I'm going to give you a couple verses, and just so you can note, everything, that's that Greek word translated. But notice these powers are at work. It's not like, hey, there's power. It's not a thought. It's not a theory. It's not an idea. It's not a teaching. It's an action. It's something actively energizing you. Would it be unbiblical to say, God, energize me for the work you've called me to? That doesn't just mean give me energy, I'm tired, but it means anoint, it means strengthen, it means empower me for the work to which you've called me to do. And that's exactly what we see. A few times the word's used, and I think this brings out some of the emphasis of the word, Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for he who works effectively, worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcision, also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. Now, Paul's talking about his calling. And he's saying, you know, how God anointed Peter to do the work he called him to reach the Jewish people, so God has anointed me to reach the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly place. I love this. The word work here, energizing, this idea of at work, or again, active, to be effective, could be translated. He's saying that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that was in Christ to raise him from the dead is the power of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. That same power that's at work in you. Of course, Paul in Romans chapter 8 says that. I think it's verse 11, 10 or 11 there of Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul says the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. And the context is, how can you overcome sin? This is how. The power of the Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you, so you can put to death the deeds of the body, so that you can live a holy and righteous life in him. So these are really important ideas here and words. We are talking about the supernatural power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. And one of my favorite verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, in verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is at, there's our word, work in us. You want to talk about able? You know, that's what we're looking at. It's the different abilities that we have are from God. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, now to him who is able. Who's able to enable? God. God is able to enable you so that you can go do the work that you are not able to do in and of yourself. This is what Paul is saying. This is what the Word of God is promising. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, it's right after he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 13, he says this, for it is God who works. Now, this word is found twice in this text. In you both to will and to do. It's the same word as works for his good pleasure. I love this. For it is God who works in you. God's at work in you. And God's at work in you to will, to accomplish his will. And to do everything for his good pleasure. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. To this end, I also labor. Now, what end is he talking about? He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ going to the world. Read the context. I mean, it's pointed. He says that we are preachers to preach Christ, and to this end we also labor, striving according to his working, which, by the way, just the word working there is powerful. It's not the same word. Which works, that's our word, which works in me mightily. The word working, works, and mightily, all are words that speak about the power of God, supernatural power of God, anointing your life to go fulfill your calling, to fulfill God's will, and he's anointing you by his grace to go do it by his Spirit. Church, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not about speaking in tongues. Okay, it's about preaching. It's about speaking something. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called about edifying, building up the body of Christ. Yes, there are the times where the word of prophecy and the word of wisdom, and yes, speaking in tongues will happen, and it's wonderful, but it's not weird. Not when you understand what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. Is Jesus weird? Because the Holy Spirit represents Jesus. You comfortable with Jesus, you're going to be comfortable with the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. By the way, all these gifts we find in Jesus. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We, church, need to understand that we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not so we have a cool time of worship. Not for a cool afterglow. Out there in that world. Out there at our jobs. When you're out there working. You know, hey, listen, there's no like secular and sacred. Like, well, there's the sacred stuff, like the gifts of the Spirit, and they're for the church. And we'll do that, and we'll have a sweet time. And, you know, a lot of Christianity, people's Christian experience is that they just have this wonderful time at church, the gifts of the Spirit move, and then they go back home, and they're just like dead. And they go into work, and no one in their work would ever know that, you know, God spoke a word of prophecy through them. Like, they don't even know they're Christians. Like, this is not right. We are to live our lives dependent upon the Holy Spirit in every single circumstance we find ourselves. And there is no secular. It is all sacred. We are set apart to God. We are his instruments, his vessels. It's not like the Holy Spirit says, oh, leave me at home today, go to work. No, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He goes with you. And he should be shining there just like he shines at church. Now, of course, your terminology might be a little different. You don't walk up to someone at church and say, praise the Lord, brother, how you doing? That's great. Let's pray. Right? Might be a little different. But the dynamic, and this is the word for power in Acts 1:8. It's the word where we get our word, English word, dynamic from, dunamis. In Greek, we get our word dynamite, dynamic. Let me ask you this. Are you living a life that is dynamic? If not, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through you. Do people around you go, there's something dynamic about that person? And I don't mean you have a dynamic personality. And some of you do. Okay? But that's not what we're talking about. That's a natural personality. I'm talking about there's something about you that's different than everyone else. And it's Christ. And they don't know it. They can't identify it right away. But you know it's Jesus Christ, because I wasn't once like this. He changed me. This is the work that we need. This is what Paul is saying, that it's the same God who works all in all. What I do see in the Bible is we're going to have just this morning a time of some extended worship, and we're going to have a prayer time up front here. And that prayer time is for those that would like someone to lay hands on them, one of our pastors, elders, to lay hands on them, to pray over them, maybe to wait for a word from the Lord, and to ask God to give them gifts. Now, why would we do that? Because we see it in the Bible. You guys know in our church, we don't do anything we don't see in the Bible. I want you to look at a couple verses in closing with me. I don't have them on the overhead. I'm going to ask you to just kind of follow along with me. First of all, I'm going to have you turn to Romans chapter 1. And for those of you who want to get ahead, then go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll just get over to the Timothys. But first, I want to go to Romans chapter 1. In verse 11, Paul says this of Romans chapter 1. If you're in 1 Corinthians, just go back one book, you're in Romans. Go to the very beginning of it. Verse 11, it says, I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift so that you might be established. What does Paul mean to impart some spiritual gift? Well, as you look at, and I'll go now over to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's, of course, writing to Timothy, which he calls his son in the faith. In chapter 4 and verse 14 of 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now he tells him how this gift got to be put in him, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The presbytery is the group of elders. It's where the word Presbyterian comes from. It's the group of elders here. It's the pastors. So Timothy, there was a time that hands were laid on you and gifts were imparted to you. Go over to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, just one book over, 2 Timothy in verse 6. Chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. Look at what he says, through the laying on of my hands. We see this throughout the book of Acts. We see them laying on of hands for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them, for the Holy Spirit to touch them. Of course, when we ordain someone into the ministry, we're laying on of hands, praying God to gift them for that operation. But this church here is something for all of us. You say, I don't know what gifts I have. I don't know that I have gifts. Well, you do. They might be laying dormant, like Paul says here to Timothy. Stir up the gifts of God that are given to you. Maybe that's what you need. You need someone to lay hands on you today just to stir up the gifts. Maybe you've died a little bit inside and you're just dead. And so what we're going to do is have a time of worship. And as we do that, I'm going to ask those that would like for the pastors and the leaders to lay hands on them just to come stand up front here. And we're just going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray. But this is what I want us to pray. I want us to pray for a double portion. And you say, what's a double portion? A double portion of God's power in your life. How many of you want that? Double what you have now, right? Amen? And, you know, and again, we always ask ourselves, how is that biblical? Well, remember Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, calling fire down on the prophets of Baal, you know, calling fire down on an altar. You know, he soaks it with water. He's like mocking the prophets. He soaks it with water. And then fire comes from heaven, consumes the altar, the wood, everything, the water. And, you know, the prophets of Baal are running around, slashing themselves and nothing's happening. Elijah's mocking them. Like, maybe your God's, you know, using the restroom. It's literally what he says. Maybe he went on vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. And so Elisha is the guy that follows Elijah. And Elisha is watching him and being discipled by him. And Elisha, when it comes to the end of Elijah's ministry, says, I want a double portion. And he said, I don't know if I can give you that. I mean, Elijah was like a prophet that had incredible powers. And he said, okay, well, if God chooses to give you that, when I go, my mantle, my cloak will fall upon you. And if so, then you get it. And in fact, it did happen. But notice he asked. He asked. He said, I want a double portion. It wasn't like, well, if God's sovereign, if God wants to give me a double portion, he'll give it to me. Not necessarily. And again, like God will give you a gift and it's lying dormant. You've got to stir that up. You've got to exercise faith. You've got to step out. You've got to come out and let the Holy Spirit do his work in your life. Church, this is hugely, hugely important. And so, listen, if your heart's not there, please don't come up because you're just wasting your time. I like to say it this way. It's laying empty hands on an empty head. It ain't doing anything. It's like if you plan on getting baptized next week and you've got no commitment to Jesus Christ, the only thing you're getting is wet. It ain't doing anything for you. And by the way, you're getting me wet too. Because it's not about the act. It's not about there's some supernatural power, some, lightning's going to come out of the hands of the really anointed that lay hands on you today and whap, you're going to get zapped and boy, it's going to be woo, an emotional experience. That's not what we see. It's simply saying, it's an act of faith saying, Lord, I want it. It's others laying hands on you and saying, Lord, we ask that you'd give it. It's called the body of Christ working together. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm going to invite up our worship team. As they come, I want to ask you today, I don't know everyone in the room, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Everything we've been talking about is for a Christian and those that are walking with God. But the first step is if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today, today is the day for salvation. Today is the day that you come to the Lord. Today is the day that you've got to open your heart. How do you do that? Well, the Bible simply says, confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Bible says, whoever calls on his name, believes in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. You got to call out to him. And so today, that's our prayer for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that you would call out, that you would cry out to him, and that you would ask the Holy Spirit to come and take up residence in you. If that's you, and we're up here praying, you're welcome to come up. You need to let us know that. We'd love to pray for you. Pray that you would become a Christian and come into a relationship. The Bible calls it being born again and being born of the Spirit and let your life be transformed. And so if that's you, we pray and hope that you would make that decision. We all have, and it's the best decision we've ever made. And so as we now go into worship, just as the worship team starts, just come up front if you'd like some prayer. It might take some time to get to you if several come up. Just be patient. Just prepare your heart and worship the Lord as you're standing here, and we'll come along and pray over you. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, and we just ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. God, we need you. We're in this study of the work of your Spirit. We need the work of your Spirit. We recognize that. We confess that. And God, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, God, today. God, as we worship, as we come forward, as we get prayer, as those that are praying, would you give us words? Would you give us your heart for the people we're praying for, our very prayers? Would you lead them? And God, would you endue with power from on high, Lord, those that are receiving prayer today, and that your gifts would flow in their lives in a free, Lord, way. We thank you, God, and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name.